And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Broadcast each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Well, you know, you can see it happening, can't you? The deep state at work. If you can't see what's going on with respect to the attack against our government, well, then you're not paying attention. If you can't see the fact that Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch, the Yak Clinton, can do anything. The Clintons can do anything. They can buy influence. They could, sell influence, I should say. Influence could be bought through the Clinton administration or Clinton Foundation. Yet, oh my goodness, two unceremonious phone calls. Or two contacts with respect to regarding Sessions. And Joe and I were talking about this. Joe did a lot of research on this, but the bottom line is this: it's not Sessions, not Sessions at all. It's not about Sessions. It's about Donald Trump. End of story. End of story. That's it. And we need to understand that they are not going to stop. The deep state is not going to stop until such time as Donald Trump is out of office, impeached, or dead. And people better start realizing that that's what's at stake here. And if people don't understand that, and you know, anyone who doesn't, and see, this is what really hacks me off about the people who don't or who say, well, you know, Donald Trump, he's not a perfect guy. Neither are we. Neither am I. We're not perfect. You want a saint as a president? You got the wrong person. You're not going to find, when I say saint, oh, wait a second, I'm talking Catholic, right? So now you're going to say I'm a Jesuit. I'm secretly a Jesuit spy. I'm a Jesuit assassin. I shouldn't say that. You see, you can't win. You can't win with these numbskulls, these idiots, these morons. You can't argue with these people that will nitpick and ankle bite and say everything. Well, you know, you shouldn't do it. Now look, here's the deal. We're at war. All right. The bombs are, metaphorically speaking, the bombs are flying everywhere. The deep state is after Trump. End of story. Why? Because he represents a threat to the deep state. Do you understand that? Not you or my normal listening audience or normal listening audience, but the people who kind of wander over here or who listen and sit there and do nothing but grumble and gripe and say, well, he's on the radio. Look, the future of our country is at stake. And you can see the establishment, conservative Republicans going after Donald Trump. Or the establishment conservative Republicans not putting up any defense against for Donald Trump. And, you know, these people who write about Donald Trump saying, oh, he's not really a Christian. He's not the perfect candidate for this. Well, then you know what? What are you sad that you didn't get Hillary in there? Is that what you're sad about? Are you sad that Hillary didn't get in? Are you sad that perhaps, I don't know. I don't understand the mentality of these people anymore, of people in general anymore, especially when it comes to the Christians. When in the hell are the Christian conservatives, the conservative Christians, the conservatives and Christians? When is everyone going to stand up and say, you know what, enough, and slap these people down, slap them down, and say enough? Enough! You got Clinton, Bubba, Billy Bob, Bubba Clinton, whoring around the halls of the White House, lying, lying under oath, of course, to Congress, or to a special prosecutor. And the you know, of course, the Democrats say, well, it's all about sex. It's not about sex. It's about integrity. Getting oral sex in, you know, in the study off of his bathroom in the, you know, in the Oval Office. That too. That's morality. And you got the Democrats and you got the progressives, I should say, sticking up for him. And, you have the conservative Christians who failed to stick up for Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with really telephone calls. It's got really nothing to do with contacts. These contacts were made. If you really understand it, look at the transcripts and bother to read the transcripts. Bother to understand what this is. This is just window dressing. This is nothing. This is, and explain to me, and I want somebody to explain to me how the Russians influenced our elections, they hacked our elections.
No, they influenced the election by hacking the DNC.
Okay, so, okay.
I mean, this
yeah,
argument.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, I know that, but the whole thing is.
And I don't care if Aunt Jemima hacked the DNC. It wasn't about who hacked who. It's about the content of the, what was in those emails that were released that was the problem.
Well, I mean it.
And if you can tie, you know, whoever hacked it with evidence, then go for it. But the content of the emails are what's real important. And what's interesting about this, this Sessions issue, and it, right before the show, I mean, we've been talking about it off air all day. And I said to my dad, I said, I don't think we should talk about this, at least in the context that the news is talking about it, because it's a made up story. It has no foundations in any facts. He never lied during his confirmation hearing. His meetings as the senior member of the Armed Services Committee.
Al Franken, by the way.
Yeah, and he recused himself from the investigations into Russia's potential ties to the election, which the DOJ said he didn't do anything wrong. Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, said there's no evidence of any Russian connection to any of Trump's cabinet members. And Ben Carson was confirmed as Secretary of HUD today. Last night or today, I'm not sure which one that was. There's a story that kind of went under the rug today as all this brouhaha about Sessions. But Sessions met with 25 foreign diplomats or had phone meetings or whatever as part of his job. Now, the issue is...
which job was that? Because he was a
senator and the senior member of the Armed Services Committee. And he... during the confirmation hearings, he was only asked in the context of meeting with Russian officials speaking on issues of the campaign or the election. It really is a non-issue. There was a senator, a Democratic senator from, I believe it was Missouri, Kathleen, or let me, I'll find it here.
Well,
she came out and said he lied and, you know, I've been in the Armed Service Committee, and I've never met with a Russian official. Turns out they found her Twitter page, and twice she met with the Russian ambassador for two different reasons. I mean, if you really... And Nancy Pelosi, when asked a question about Loretta Lynch's tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton... Sessions...
That's all right, though.
Yeah, see, she said, they were just talking about their grandchildren.
What a bunch of crap. And see, in my anger, really, is to the conservatives, is to the Republicans, is to the conservative Christians. That's where my anger lies, because you folks, you know, go ahead and pile on. Go ahead. Because, you know, you wouldn't know a good thing or a reprieve if it bit you in the ass.
Well, they don't want a good thing. They'd rather destroy this country than concede that Trump is the president. And I think the big issue here is a headline from the Daily Caller from yesterday, last night. Obama administration sabotaging Trump's transition to the White House. This is all the Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Marxist Olalinsky tactics to create chaos.
Try out their playbook. See this playbook right here? It's right here. It's right out of here. This is actually the playbook for the Stooges on the ground. That's the indivisible playbook. That's the playbook for the Stooges.
And I came across an interesting article today. I don't know. Apparently, there was some issue with Obama before he, in his final week in office, changed the language of an executive order to make it easier for leaked information,
of course,
to come out. Now, you won't see that in the news yet. I have a feeling you will tomorrow, or Monday at the latest. But you've been doing a lot of research into Obama's activities, the groups that he's working with, tactics that they're using.
Yeah.
And as long as he's allowed to continue to act like this, I mean, it's so funny to see, and I know this isn't it, and forget what Sessions has done. When we see the Democrats in historically, just so in the last presidential term during Obama, no accountability on things like Benghazi, no accountability on Hillary Clinton's emails, but they're trying to hyperactively tie conversations from a senator to a Russian ambassador, which is normal behavior, and it's part of the public record also, and the content of those conversations are as well.
You know,
they're trying to make the connection to some illegal activity.
Right.
And I know this is a bad argument, but when you look at all the illegal activity they overlooked and defended for Hillary Clinton and Obama, it boggles my mind to see them. I mean,
Hillary
it's like
Clinton,
the pot calling the kettle black.
Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. Where's
the $6 billion?
Well, there's a whole litany of things that's wrong with this, all right? Christians sat back as abortions, and conservatives sat back as abortions were allowed to run rampant under Obama. Christians and conservatives sat back and called people like us birthers and truthers when we spoke about Obama's pedigree, and we spoke about Obama's, or spoke about 9/11. People sat back and said that we were just plain old crazy when we talked about Building 7. People sat back and did nothing. And you've got Obama, who never met a Muslim he didn't love, who never really met a Muslim he didn't love, and kind of like George Bush with a kiss on the lips of Bin Saud, I suppose. Obama, you know, his lips firmly planted on the butts of so many Wahhabists in his administration. And, you know, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton using their Clinton Foundation, and Hillary's influence as Secretary of State to go out and speak at the numerous countries. Hillary Clinton. What about Hillary Clinton and the Russian reset? What about Hillary Clinton?
And the uranium
deals. That's right, Frank Giustra. And Dave Hodges had revealed that long before, concurrent with or even before Peter Schweiker came out with the book Clinton Cash. And that's very well detailed in Clinton Cash. You read the book Clinton Cash, and you come away, after you get done reading that book, you want to take a shower because it's so horrible with respect to what Hillary and Bill Clinton had done, and Hillary Clinton, of course. But see, you get these Christians and conservatives that they're so friggin' sad that Hillary lost. I can't believe it. So they have to pick on Donald Trump.
Yeah, like Lindsey Graham today.
Yeah.
He came out in the morning and said that Jeff Sessions didn't do anything wrong. Then, a few hours later, he came out and said he should resign.
Sure.
Yeah. And if you look at Lindsey Graham and John McCain, they're two Republican senators who are probably some of the most corrupt in the Senate, if not the most corrupt. But to see the piling on, I think was a term it piling on, and to see what they're piling on about when it's actually a non-story, as much as it's in the news right now, it really is a non-story. It makes me wonder, you know, if there is actually something serious to report, how that would go over. And then at this rate, by next week at this time, the headline's going to be breaking news, Donald Trump, impeachment, had a Reuben sandwich for lunch with Russian dressing. I mean, there I saw a report on CNN today where the secretary to the Russian ambassador told a CNN correspondent in Moscow to stop reporting on with disinformation and lies, and called CNN fake news. The host of the show, as it came back into CNN Atlanta, went on a few-minute talk about how the language from the Russian secretary and Trump were very similar, about calling CNN liars and saying they were fake news. And that raised suspicions with these smart guys.
I told you that the fake news was going to, that meme was going to be big time.
But just to see the secretary of the ambassador say CNN is fake news, and then to see the pundits turn around and say, well, you know, that sounds very similar. I wonder if her and Trump are reading from the same paper. I mean, they are, as I told Eric earlier, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. They're desperate. Yeah. What are they really hiding? Is this to do with this huge increase in pedophilia investigations, or are they trying to hide something else? Or are they just trying to sabotage? And then my question from there is, when does it become a crime for what Obama's doing behind the scenes? When does it become a crime
for
the former administration interfering in this administration to the point of sedition and treason? I mean, when does it become a crime? At what point do they say enough?
United to Protect Democracy, that group, $1.5 million, five staffers, and those five staffers are out of Obama's, those are lawyers out of Obama's administration or his regime. They set up shop in Washington, D.C. Yeah, and they expect to throw in another five or so people, double the people in the next couple of weeks. That's United to Protect Democracy. That's the group that's creating lawfare against Donald Trump and the people, you know, for Donald Trump. And see, that's lawfare now is the chic thing to do. That's in vogue for people who've got basically nothing better to do, and no, in my view anyway, my personal opinion, to use the legal system against our people like Donald Trump and people within his administration. Go ahead and use the legal system. And the only people that really win there are lawyers, but of course they are lawyers. So you know, I guess that's a no-brainer.
In degree only.
Well, and you know, the fact is, do you know where they got their name, United to Protect Democracy? Do you know where they got their name? Because did you ever think about that phrase?
No.
They took it out of Obama's farewell speech, that phrase, United to Protect Democracy. Which it shows how much he knows. We're a representative republic, constitutional republic, but it's a 501c3, 501c4 company. And that's what United to Protect Democracy is. And of course you've got Obama's Organizing for America, which is again the third iteration. I say this all the time, of Obama's initial Organizing for America. Did I say Organizing for Action? That's what I meant to say. Third iteration of Organizing for America. And but this all started back in 2004. Don't think this started in 2008 when Obama became president. He began this in 2004 with his speech at the Democratic National Convention, Audacity of Hope, back in the 2004 DNC. But see, he branded himself at that time. And he branded himself as, in 2004, with that speech, and began to get his team ready. It took 4 years, or actually about 2.5 years, then he filed to become president. That gave him enough time for the Washington establishment people to get his cover story in order, cover up his bona fides, put him in office in 2008, and the way I'm seeing this now, as I'm looking at this, he expected Hillary Clinton to win. I really believe that. And he would lead within the Washington. He got the House in Washington. And that was going to be really, to me, the real White House there until Trump had, President Donald Trump won and had an upset. So now it's a base of opposition, of which Organizing for Action is based really through his Washington D.C. home. It's not based at it, but based through it, as are groups like Antifa, Resist Fascism, .org, all of these really interesting Guevarian names. And that this is what's taking place. So, I said this a number of years ago. People laughed and told me that I was insane. You better be prepared for a civil war, because it's coming. It is coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. And if you don't think it's coming, well then I, you know what? watch or go listen to some other show, because you better understand. Maybe it's not going to be next week, but we're going to have a hot summer, I believe.
I keep seeing the day May 1st pop up.
Well, May 1st...
It's just May Day.
Right, but they're bringing in... May 8th, there's a march, and that's being planned. I've got so many...
April? Or the spring?
Well, there are four dates that are occult, satanic dates that actually the witches are planning for, okay, to pray against Donald Trump.
Okay.
But May 8th is a march. May 1st is another march, but May 1st is a big one.
I don't know if it's
that's celebrating May Day.
Right. I don't know if it's just the date in the history of May Day, but a lot of people I have seen saying that that this is going to be, in the heat of this, what you would call an American spring, the civil unrest.
Right.
Which obviously we don't know. There's been no, paper saying we're going to start rioting on this date. But I do agree that as the weather gets warmer, the Obamas and the sabotage is not going away. It's only gaining momentum as they continue to pay their personnel to protest and to organize these protests. This is something that we definitely need to keep our eye on, because
it doesn't make any sense.
They can't get
though.
Trump out.
That's right.
The way through these false attacks and fake news and bogus conspiracies, they're going to try other ways. Violence being one of them, especially in cities and towns across the country. They'll take what they can get.
They will.
I think they're very desperate. They're grasping at straws. And if they can't do it one way, they'll try, doors 2, 3, 4, and 5. Whether that's an assassination attempt, whether that's, political violence, it's going to come in a number of ways. And I think it's going to get worse as they see their narratives continue to crumble and be destroyed, because they're made up, they're lies, and they got nothing left legitimately to come at this administration with.
Right.
And I think that some of the session stuff, I think some people are right when they say it's in direct response to his State of the Union address, as some people probably got worried to see CNN calling Trump presidential.
Right.
People like Van Jones saying that he became the president, during the speech, and it was one of the most interesting political moments in U.S. history. As they see people from both sides start to warm up to him, they're going to continue to do things like this.
Oh. It's coming, folks. It is coming. Which reminds me, I should mention this. I made a mistake. I welcome the Pred Defense to the family of advertisers, Hagman family of advertisers. I made a mistake. I kept referencing my Mossberg. I've got two shotguns, Remington 870 and a Mossberg. For some reason, Mossberg's stuck in my head. They make, Pred Defense makes the, quick reloaders for the Remington 870. And I kept saying Mossberg.
Well, I think you like that Mossberg.
I
think you like the way it looks with the pistol grip on it.
Well, because of my Remington 870 is not, it's decked up, but not like that.
It's not a tactical shotgun as a Mossberg.
So whatever, and I apologize. So I apologize to anyone I misled. They're working on the Mossberg, prototype. And other models. Thank you, Eric. Yeah. But anyway, it's for the Remington 870, and I just want to say Pred Defense. And it works well. So forgive me for my mistake when I kept saying Mossberg, but it's, when they come out, I get one of those too. But, Remington 870, it's a marvelous, and, I was talking to my neighbor. We were talking about guns, and I should have realized, it should have clicked then. He's got a Remington 870 as well. That as a matter of fact, his grandfather or father gave him. It's really good shape. But anyway, so let me just say this, preddefense.com. You want to, the weapons, the shotguns, they're prolific for home defense. If you have a Remington 870, my apologies, by the way, to Pred Defense. If you have a Remington 870, you won't find a better, quick, way to get another shell in there than the Pred Defense unit. It's a great unit. So anyway, go to visit preddefense.com. That's preddefense.com. Don't listen to me sometimes. Joe's like saying, yeah, you know, you,
we have just about a minute left in this segment. And coming up is Dr. Ted Brewer is going to be joining us. And I think his wife is going to be joining us as well.
Yeah, he's going to be talking about a lot of things today.
There's one story I want to hit. And folks, go to HagmanReport.com. You can check out the news of the day there. And this story caught my attention. Washington Post downplays illegal immigrant murders.
Of course.
And this is a story that did not get the attention that it should have got. And this is from Washington Examiner. It goes on to say that the Washington Post editorial accused President Trump on Tuesday of appealing to raw prejudice and fear in his first speech in front of Congress by inviting families of people allegedly murdered by illegal immigrants to attend. The Post's use of allegedly appears to suggest that there is legal doubt over whether it was illegal immigrants who murdered the victims, although there is no doubts. Folks, go to our website and read this story. It's very interesting. And if you follow it up with some of your own research, you'll find the numbers that they have from last year of illegal immigrants who were convicted of violent crimes. And that's not in the article, but you can find that on your own. And the numbers are much more alarming than I would have even suspected. When we come back, Dr. Ted Brewer from HealthMasters.com
will be our guest. Stuff.
He has a show here on Global Star Radio Network. It airs after our show, and it's on from 3 to 4 Eastern right here on Global Star. Don't go anywhere. Dr. Ted Brewer coming right up.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest joining us now is Dr. Ted Breuer of HealthMasters.com. He also has a show with his son, Austin, each and every weekday here and Saturdays on Global Star Radio Network. Is that right, Ted?
Okay, yeah.
I know it's 6 days a week, not 5 days a week. That's right.
It's Sunday night.
Okay, thank you.
It's the hour before Dave Hodges. If you go to the HealthMasters.com website, you'll get a 24-hour phone number that you can actually call and listen to the show anytime you'd like. But we got a, got a lot of stuff. I've got three stacks of articles here as far as what you guys do tonight.
We can start with
some health stuff, which I've got a bunch of new health stuff. I've got a whole article on what makes a psychopath, who these people are, what they believe.
You gotta talk slowly to me about that, okay? Psychopath. I need to know about that, Ted.
Well,
I could fit some of those. The symptoms might fit.
Well, the funny you said that. Every once in a while, you may have a person who has one or two of the symptoms of being a psychopath, but they don't have all of the symptoms. I only know of one person that I know, and I mean, I'm not kidding you, that literally has all of these symptoms of psychopathy. And so, but I can start with nutrition. We can start with general news. Sharon's going to be coming on at 8:30 if it's okay with you guys. And she's going to be talking about menopausal and postmenopausal women and sleep patterns and how to sleep like a baby when you're 60 years old like she does. And she wants to basically share with you what she went through as far as sleep deprivation and how she corrected it without the use of sleeping pills, which can be very, very dangerous to your health. So they're pretty dangerous.
We're actually going to duct tape my wife to a chair and bring her to the studio and make her listen to this, because she needs to. I've been hearing, and I'm serious about this. We've gotten one of the emails that we've been getting a lot from when you're on the show, health emails, is about women having trouble sleeping.
Well, you know, I thought, well, you know, Sharon went through that, and I thought, you know, Sharon is so articulate and she's so smart and she's such a good writer. And I told her, I said yesterday, I said, Sharon, I want you to come on with Hagman and I want you to talk about sleep deprivation in menopausal and postmenopausal women, and also in younger women, because a lot of ladies take a lot of sleeping pills, Doug, and it's very, very dangerous, especially for the brain. And so you've got to try to, and men, same thing. There are a lot of guys out there that can't sleep, and we've got some phenomenal products and some phenomenal tips that'll help you to sleep like a baby all the way through the night. I mean, I go to bed at 10 o'clock. I wake up at 6 or 7. I get a good 8 hours sleep every night. I mean, we sleep great. So does Sharon. And so it's just some things that we've learned to do. And one of the things you got to do, and I'm not going to steal her thunder because I don't have to deal with the consequences of that. But yeah, you've got to reduce the cortisol. We talked about that earlier with the cortisol buster. She'll talk about that again tonight. It's an amazing product. And you've got to stop drinking coffee. And you say, well, I like coffee. Well, join the club. I love coffee. I mean, I used to drink 18 cups a day when I was in graduate school at Florida State. In fact, I worked for a company. I'm not sure if they're in business anymore. It was called Quality Coffee Service. And the owner back then was a guy by the name of Dave Pulsifer. A nice guy, a good friend. Haven't talked to him in years, though. And he's just a great guy. And he ended up basically giving me a coffee maker, a bun coffee maker, one of those really expensive commercial-grade coffee makers to use in my apartment in Tallahassee. And I got really hooked on the stuff because he'd give me the coffee, he'd give me everything for it. And I thought, wow. And I was drinking this stuff like 18 cups a day. And I really got addicted to the stuff, Doug. So you tell me you love coffee? I raised my hand. I love it too, but I don't drink it anymore. Every once in a while, you know, I had my true confessions a few weeks ago when I was in Miami. I had a couple cups of coffee in the morning for breakfast because it was free on the buffet. I had like one cup each day. And of course, both nights, Friday night and Saturday night, I did not sleep well. And Sunday night, because I had, actually it would be Saturday night and Sunday night, I did not sleep well because I had messed up my own sleep pattern with coffee. So it's very difficult. Yesterday I spoke to a lady who's suffering from this extreme adrenal fatigue. She lost a bunch of weight, did a bunch of cardio, and she used a bunch of caffeine stimulants in order to get her weight down. Now, it's okay to use the green tea like in the Purple Six. In fact, it's actually good. I mean, it doesn't hurt you at all. It doesn't elevate cortisol at all. It won't mess up your sleep patterns. But you have to realize, if you're doing an hour's worth of cardio every day trying to burn calories and you're basically not eating enough carbohydrates, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to run into an adrenal drain and your body's going to stay tired all of the time. And I warned her when she was doing it. I heard, I'm not going to mention her name. And I talked to her. I said, here's the deal. She said, I don't know what to do. The doctors had to put me back on cortisone because I passed out twice and now I've gained 20 pounds back and I'm so frustrated because I'm having to work out like one tenth of what I did. And I said, look, here's the problem. I said, when you work out for more than 30 to 40 minutes a day, regardless of what you, or your intentions are as far as healthy, it's not healthy because it elevates cortisol. And you have to understand that. You have to get to that point in your life where you find a moderate amount of cardio to do. Like today, I did a bunch of squats. Now, when I do squats, I'm not talking about using any weight anymore. They're more of a deep knee bend with like a 10-pound bar. And I did like 100 of those. Then I also did about 6 minutes of, you know, really fast cardio on the Precor elliptical runner when I got done. And now what had happened, the Cybex elliptical runner. And what happened is, I mean, my legs were very, very weak all day. But, I mean, that's still how I train. Now, I just don't use heavy weight anymore because of the back surgery. I mean, no one should ever do squats with weight anyhow. It's just too dangerous. You can do leg press, but you got to be really careful with the leg press machines because I injured my back again about in 2007, 2008, going real heavy on leg press. And so I'm real careful with the weight. I try not to do anything that's going to mess up my discs or cause a herniation of a disc. And so I'm very careful, but I do work out. I mean, I do 100 ab exercises a day as far as reps. I do the crunches on the ball. I do hanging leg raises. I also do a machine. We have an ab machine at the house, and I also do 25 sit-ups every day. And it keeps my abs really, really, really in good shape, and it keeps my belly in. So, I mean, when you get older, if you don't keep your belly in, you can end up getting hernias. You can end up, you know, basically having to, you know, your liver starts pushing through because you start getting some fat on your liver as you get older if you're not careful, especially if you eat high fructose corn syrup. And what ends up happening is you get to a situation where you're laying in bed at night, Doug, and it happened to me a few years ago. I remember that. That's why I put a stop to it. You're laying in bed tonight, you know, and it's cold, and you got your blanket at the foot of the bed, and you got to do a sit-up to get the blanket. And you kind of feel like a turtle on its back. You can't quite get up. And you're kind of like, this is ridiculous. So you have to roll on your side, bend over, and pick up the blanket and pull it up. But that dog doesn't hunt with me. I decided that wasn't going to happen again. And so I started doing my abs every single day. Plus, I picked up a bunch of irrigation boxes up. They probably only weighed 125 pounds. I only picked them up from the back of my truck and put them in a pile. And I didn't bend over with them. I pulled an ab muscle, tore it. Luckily, I didn't herniate it. And it took about a month to 2 months for that to get better. And I decided, hey, you know what, guys? I'm going to get my abs back in shape. I'm not going to be the turtle in the middle of the night. And if I pick up 100 pounds of stuff, it's not going to be one of those deals. It's going to be debilitatingly painful for the next 30 days trying for it to heal. And I just thank God Almighty that I had strong enough ab muscles that I didn't herniate my doggone abdominal muscle. You still feel a little bit of a tear there where I tore it. And so by the grace of God, it wasn't any worse. So, guys, listen to me. It's really important as you get older to work those ab muscles on an ongoing basis. Even if you're just doing crunches on a ball, you know, hold back your head so you don't let your head fall off the ball. This is one of these exercise balls. Put your feet real wide. In fact, I have to do a video one time. I sent it to you guys, and you can post it, Doug, of me doing all this. And what it does, it allows you to really keep those abdominal muscles strong. And, you know, and so they've been sore. They stay sore all the time, me doing this. But I tell you what, guys, with that and the muscle blast of the HGH Stimulate, it really helps to maintain that lean muscle mass, you know, even as you get older. And since I've got a new book coming out now, I told Sharon, I said, it's a good incentive when I have a book coming out to lose a few pounds. And it's not like I ever get very heavy. I mean, I need to drop, I had to drop like 8 pounds. I'm down like 6 pounds right now. And like I told you last week, the lower I go, the more I look like a younger Christopher Walken. And so, it's going to be fun watching me go. I got about 3 more pounds to drop and then I'll be doing the book cover. And so it's just one of those deals that I like staying real close to my ideal body weight because it's just easier to get back into shape that way. And you can breathe better. You're not out of breath. You can run, you can exercise, you can do what you need to do. But guys, be real careful with the running. As you get older, even when you're younger, the running causes a lot of hip problems and knee problems and back problems. I met with a very good friend of mine a few weeks ago when I was in Miami, and he had to undergo back surgery about 4 years ago, and he was an avid runner. He ran a lot of the 10K marathons. He did a lot of stuff, and he ran and ran and ran in great shape, and really lean, all cut up, looked good. I mean, even into his 50s, until his back went out on him. And when it did, he had to have fusions and everything else done on his spine, and it's really curtailed. He really curtailed his exercise abilities. He still looks good, but he's very careful now. Now he just kind of stays with cardio, and he does what I do, and he avoids any kind of heavy compression exercises on top of your shoulders. That's really important that you avoid those because it can really mess you up. And plus, if you're getting older, if you're past the age of 30, instead of doing real heavy military presses, which is very difficult on your shoulders, use dumbbells instead and do them one arm, do them what's called an isolateral press. So if you're doing a one arm dumbbell raise for your shoulders, pick it up like this and then put the weight down, then do the other side. And it really makes it a lot easier not locking the muscles up in the back of your neck. And it makes it a lot easier not to injure yourself. And of course, you don't have to use all the heavy weights you used to use when you were younger, when you were trying to get bigger. The whole goal here, past the age of 30, past the age of 40, past the age of 50, is just not to lose about 7% of your lean muscle mass every decade. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a huge amount of muscle to lose. That's what the average person loses, Doug, about 7%. So you find yourself extremely weak, very inflexible. You find yourself having your muscle being replaced by fat. Remember, 5 pounds of muscle isn't much. 5 pounds of fat's a lot. So that's why we have a body change as we get older, if we're not careful, because we start to replace our lean muscle mass with fat. Your weight doesn't necessarily have to go up that much, but you kind of like your pants don't zip anymore. You have to kind of unbutton your pants when you sit down. You unbutton your belt every time you sit down. And it's all because of the redisposition of the body's the body fat and the muscle in the system. If you work out, you can lower a lot of that and stop a lot of that, and you can maintain that lean muscle mass as you get older, which is really, really important. Because remember, every pound of muscle that you carry facilitates about 50 calories a day as far as your basal metabolic rate. So if you lose 10 pounds of muscle, you're going to have to lose about 500 calories in your basal metabolic rate per day. And if that happens, you have to eat 500 less calories, or you have to burn that many more calories doing cardio or some type of exercise as you get older. So it's easier to maintain that lean muscle weight and not lose it as you get older. That's what's so, so important when you do this.
So convert fat to muscle.
You know, that can't happen. You can't convert fat to muscle. What happens is the muscle atrophies and goes away and it's replaced by fat. A lot of people say, well, your fat turns to muscle. That's not true.
Okay.
Muscle, it doesn't work that way in physiology. The muscle can be replaced by fat, but it won't turn to fat. In other words, your body composition will change because you lose muscle and it's replaced by fat. So, you know, you do a bicep pose or you do like that or something in the mirror. Now you have no arm left and your whole arm jiggles for 2 or 3 minutes. That's not cool. And see, guys, listen to me. It's really important as an alpha male that you stay in shape. It really is. I mean, you've got to stay in shape. You've got to be able to defend yourself. You've got to be able to defend your family. Just today over at Lowe's over here at Lowe's in Auburndale today, there was a big fight out in the parking lot. I mean, one of my friends who works there sent me a video, and I thought, wow, some older guy got picked on by some 18-year-old kid, and they both almost hit each other in the parking lot. So the 18-year-old kid jumped out and decided to give this older guy some mouth. The old guy basically knocked the guy out. He just cold cocked him right in the parking lot. And he knocked the kid down like 3 times. The kid kept getting back up. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. But the old guy stayed in shape. He was probably a construction worker or a roofer. And the young guy probably thought, this old guy was going to go beat him up, which is ridiculous. But a lot of people, that's their mantra. That's their mindset. The key here is stay in the vehicle. Don't get out of the vehicle and avoid road rage. That's what I always try to do, Doug.
That's right.
And just to sit in the car and just drive away and be happy with the whole thing and make sure you've got your Glock in your pants or on the console or wherever you can legally carry it in whatever state you're in, or your Kimber or your Smith & Wesson or whatever you're carrying. Just have it available to you. So if somebody tries to attack you, you can either drive away, or if they try to stop you or hit you with their car, that you can defend yourself. It's really, really important to understand that as a Christian, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to be beaten up by other people. You know, we can turn the other cheek, you know, kind of like from a metaphoric standpoint, but you don't really want to turn the other cheek if somebody's in a fight with you because you don't want to knock you unconscious. It's really, really important.
It's up to us. And this is why, and people might ask, well, why would you even tell you, with all the news out there, why would you even be talking about health? Because if we don't have the health, if we don't have the ability to defend ourselves, how in the world are we going to defend our families? And if you don't think it's going to come to that here pretty soon, then great. You know, keep watching the cartoons that you're watching, because I do have a feeling, Ted, the way things are going, things are going to get nasty. And, it's going to get personal with all of us. So we need, as guys, and this is true, because see, if I took off my shirt right now, you see this like ripped six pack. Maybe not. No, you know what? We need to be healthy, and we need to be fit, and we need to be ready for whatever is coming our way. And that's
right.
So
That's right. But anyhow, so we can continue on with some nutritious stuff, Doug, or we can go ahead and shift to the psychopathic stuff, or we can shift to the world news, whichever you want to do right now.
You pick, because I was on with Alex Jones for an hour today, by the way, folks. If you get a good chance, go ahead and watch that. Things are just breaking down, and so, but you know what? You start wherever you want to start. Sorry.
Well, since we're already talking about the health stuff, let's do a few minutes of that, and then we'll come back, and I can start with the psychopathy after Sharon's there, after I finish the nutrition stuff, and then I can start back on the world news. But, you know, Alice is right. You're right. I mean, the New World Order is absolutely diametrically opposed to Donald Trump. Now, I have some issues as far as his speech. I don't understand some of the numbers he's crunching. I don't understand how we're going to have $1 trillion increase in infrastructure spending, how we're going to cut taxes on everybody. And I understand what we're saying is, well, Ronald Reagan did that because he grew the economy and we brought in more tax revenue. Remember, when Ronald Reagan took office over Jimmy Carter, you know, the inflation was through the roof and the discount rate for the Fed was close to 20%. I mean, it was ridiculous. And unemployment was very, very high because we had stagflation. Now in the United States, we may have 95 million people working, but a lot of the people who aren't working don't want to go back to work because they're on government subsidies. I mean, so it's going to be an interesting scenario this time because it's a lot different than it was back in 1980. But what I do see happening, and this is something that you may or may not agree with, Doug, but this is what I see happening. There's a lot, if Trump does all this and he deregulates a lot of stuff and he starts pushing a lot of pressure back into the United States, it's going to start really, really, if it does start growing the economy, if the globalists allow him to do that, because they're still in charge. I mean, we've seen that with the chemtrails that are still spraying. If he's allowed to do this, he could start to inflate the economy. And if that happens, interest rates are going to probably go back up. And if that happens, you could start ending up with some inflation, some serious, serious inflation. This is exactly what happened with the Weimar Republic in the early 20s. And that's not something any of us want. Nobody wants hyperinflation in the United States. So really watch it. I mean, we've had such a huge irrational exuberance of the stock market now in the last 3 or 4 months since Trump was elected back in November.
It's insane.
Well, no, it's stupid. I mean, the price-to-earnings ratio on these corporations is ridiculous. But remember, the banks have bought up almost all of the New York Stock Exchange, exactly what they did with the Weimar Republic back in the 20s. And so at the end of the inflation cycle, the end of the growth cycle, the banks come out owning all of the blue chip stocks. They also bought up a lot of gold and silver with the Deutschmarks that they were inflating back in the 20s. And so at the end of the whole thing, the international bankers, again, who rule the world, basically still rule the world. And so that's what we've got to be really, really careful of right now, because of 21,000 Dow, are you kidding me? That's almost ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't make any sense why it's pushing. And this is just that Trump bump. That's all this is. It's a Trump bounce. But guys, the precious metals, because of the M1 money supply, should have gone through the roof right now. The silver should be $40, $50, $60 an ounce right now. Gold should be $3,000 an ounce right now because of the inflation of the M1 money supply, which is the amount of total circulation, money in circulation. I mean, the Fed and themselves, when they were audited by Ron Paul, what did they say, Doug? It was $16 trillion they couldn't account for because they had given it to the international banking community. They didn't know where it had gone, which is a total lie. They knew exactly where it had gone, but they didn't want to divulge that information. But what's interesting about that is, that's what's happened with all that money. The banks haven't lent it out. They basically gambled with it in the stock market, and they bought up the blue chip stocks. They bought up a whole bunch of the stock market, which is exactly what happened with the money from Germany. If you read Jim Marr's books, you know, the Fourth Reich, that's what happened with a lot of the money that was in Germany from what money they had stolen. A lot of them believe they found King Solomon's mines. I mean, who knows? They had a lot of cash, and they had a lot of gold. That was all deposited at the Bank for International Settlements there in Basel, and all that money was basically distributed through their subsidiary corporations and their shell corporations throughout the whole world in order to buy up corporations. We know they did that. So we don't really understand everything that's happening to us right now, but I guarantee you this is a plan. This is a hierarchical plan, and they've given Trump just a little bit of slack to try to do what he's going to do, but they're not going to let him go out and do what he wants to do unless he takes down the CIA, unless he takes down the international banking cartel, unless he takes down the Federal Reserve Bank, and unless he does all of these things, and he does them very, very quickly, because unless he's already had the talk go like this: you got a beautiful family, you want to keep them around, we're going to let you be a good president, you're going to go down in history as a great president, everybody's going to love you, we're going to have unprecedented prosperity, but you're not going to do what you want to do. We're going to tell you what you're going to do, and we're going to give you a little bit to do this stuff with, and we're going to put a stop to anything past that. This is what happened to John F. Kennedy. You know, with the deep state and the CIA and and all the stuff that happened as far as the secrecy that was surrounding the CIA after the 1947 with Roswell, all of this stuff started.
I got to ask you. I didn't mean to interrupt, but have you read The Devil's Chessboard by David Talbot?
Oh, I'd love to read it. Doug, send me the link and I'll buy it. I'll get it online. I'll read it next time before I do another show with you.
Yeah, I had the occasion to finish that up. It's not an easy read. I mean, it's a huge book, but it goes into Dulles, and it's got a chapter on Dulles toward the end, Kennedy Dulles, and exactly what you're talking about right there with respect to Kennedy and the deep state back then. So it all fits together. So I just wanted to ask if you, because that sounded almost like you were referencing that book.
Well, no, let me read something that James wrote. I like this, and it says that he says we're being farmed and asset stripped by the bankers. American soldiers have been used as profit-making cannon, fought in all wars engineered by the banksters to liberate cheap natural resources for their corporate cronies. Our assets are being continuously stripped by the banksters, charging pernicious usury for renting what should have been our own money in the first place. Now this ever happened. And he goes on to say, ever since the top brass of the U.S. Army Air Corps, which later became the U.S. Air Force, decided that the Roswell crash had to be suppressed, a revolutionary change occurred in U.S. intel. Thus, the Roswell crash flying saucer story was immediately excised from the major mass media, and the flimsy cover story was substituted that a weather balloon had crashed. And so they kept the stuff super, super, super secret. And it goes on the Foreign Technology Back Engineering Program at Patterson Army Air Force Base, later become Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, was being used to basically do all the things that we have today in our technology, so many of them. And this is the Alien ET Recovery Program and Back Engineering of these anti-gravity craft led to deep black and beyond black unacknowledged programs buried deep within certain aeronautical and defense contractors, which performed off-the-book secret alliances with the United States Air Force and alternatively the United States Navy, which Dave Hodges has talked about. And then he says, I'm just reading parts of this, and he goes, the banksters who sit at the top of the pyramid structure are the big boys of the hierarchy. That is the illegal, unconstitutional, private central banksters. They asset strip we, the people, of vast amounts of wealth through issuing fake money, funny money. We've talked about that, and your listeners are fully aware of this. It's obviously it's an extreme RICO fraud to charge America's pernicious usury to use what should have been their own money in the first place that isn't even real money. This funny money is accepted only because there are legal, unconstitutional laws requiring it to be accepted as legal tender. Then he goes on to say these banksters basically viewed Roswell as a great opportunity to lock down all of America by expanding the World War II concept of locking down secrecy. And it says the CIA was set up by the Third Reich Nazi intel brought over under Operation Paperclip, this is true, by Gellin and Mueller with full support of Dulles, there you go Doug, and Prescott Bush, even though Bush had his Union Bank assets seized and his hands slapped for supporting the Nazis. And this goes on, it's a really good article if you guys want to read through the whole thing. And he starts talking about how the Bushes were involved in all of this stuff and how George Bush was directly involved, which I personally believe, this is my own opinion, in the assassination of JFK, Martin Luther King, and Bobby Kennedy. And he said the Third Reich became the Fourth Reich by buying all of these different corporations. And then a secret war between the United States Air Force and the U.S. Navy kind of started as far as what they were doing. And so it's really a good article which talks about the banksters. And I don't agree with everything in the article, but it's got some really, really good points in it. But the reality is this. I mean, we've got a major, major problem here in the United States with what's happening as far as the bankers controlling everything, because they already own the major news. We already know that. And so it's not something that they can try to hide. I mean, what is it? What, 95% of the media is owned by 6-7 corporations? I mean, this is some crazy stuff. So they're censoring the news. They're actually doing everything they can to prevent us from telling the truth. That's why the alternative media, which is the new Gutenberg press, has basically flourished everywhere we go, because what's happened is we're in a situation now that the media has finally caught up to the Gutenberg press as far as the alternative media. And quite frankly, you know, shows like yours and Alex Jones and my show and Dave Hodges and Sheila and a bunch of other ones, we actually have a much larger viewership now and a listenership than the mainstream does, except for perhaps some of the top things they put out as far as news specials, etc. And so the crazy thing is this. They don't want us doing this, Doug. They don't want us talking about what they're doing and how they're planning on doing things, because it's all about censorship. It's like the 5G phone networks that are coming out, this new band that they're setting up where they're going to put, you know, hundreds, thousands of more cell towers everywhere to bathe us in even more Wi-Fi radiation. They don't have any idea what this is going to do to us, but we do know this. They probably need, because they've chipped us now with the smart dust and the micro dust, etc. We've talked about that in shows. And they need to have closer antennae to us to be able to read our thoughts and our emotions and our our energy field that we're putting out. And so this whole thing is getting really, really, really weird. And this is some really advanced technology that they're using. And again, I believe this was either given to them by these interdimensionals, because, you know, I believe a lot of this fallen angel technology was given to us. Well, I think that's where Atlantis came from. And I also believe that this fallen angel technology is something that is being used against us right now to continue to enslave the race. Because remember, these are Luciferians at the top end. These are psychopaths, sociopaths. They don't have any remorse. They don't have any feelings. They don't care whether they hurt somebody or kill somebody, or if they bomb and kill 500,000 people in Dresden in 1945, or if they bomb the Holy Land poo out of Iraq or Syria. They don't care. These guys consider themselves to be a different species than we are. They consider themselves to be better than we are, and they consider us to be a subspecies. And they consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen, tracing their lineage all the way back to Lucifer, back to Nimrod. And so, fallen angels. And so this whole thing has to be tied back together. That's what I love about Steve Quayle stuff. Steve ties all of this stuff back together in little bundles like I do, like Paul McGuire does also, because what we do is we look at this entirety, because something else is going on. We have to understand this is not what we think it is. Everything's, like you said, this big chessboard, this three-dimensional chessboard that's going on, and there are all these little figures are playing all of these different pieces, and they're doing all of these different things. I mean, Donald Trump, in a true world, if he was given complete autonomy to do what he said he was going to do, you know, it'd be pretty amazing. But now he's found out that they don't have the money to basically build the wall. Congress has to appropriate the money to build the wall. And they only found $20 million to build the wall. They need $10 billion to build the wall. So now Congress has to approve building the wall. And who knows if that's going to ever happen or not, Doug.
That's true.
Congress hasn't done anything.
But you know, I'm sure there are other ways. However, I mean, how many federal employees does it take to make that much money? How many federal employees can we cut?
Well, why don't we stop supporting the illegal aliens that come into the country and use that money to build the wall?
There you go. Yeah, that'll work.
Folks, we're talking with Dr. Ted Breuer. He is our guest. Healthmasters.com is the website. When we come back, we're going to get into more geopolitical news and health news with Dr. Ted and his wife. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits what we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest Precious Plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.